So today we find Peter and seven apostles fishing on the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. Why are they in Galilee? What are they doing there? Why are they fishing? Didn't Peter and Andrew and James and John leave their nets to go follow Christ? They found the nets again. They've gone back to their fishing. But we know from the other Gospels and from John that Jesus has appeared before to them. John says this is the third time. We have seven resurrection appearances altogether. And so Jesus has told them, go before me to Galilee, there you will see me. So they went off to Galilee, and while they're waiting, Peter says, well, we don't know when Jesus is coming, so we're going to go fishing. So they knew where the boats were. It's very interesting because according to the Gospels, when the first time that Peter saw Jesus and followed him was very similar to this story. It's in a different Gospel, but it's basically the same story. Jesus is standing on the shore, and Peter and his apostles are out fishing, and they fished all night and caught nothing. The second time, they fished all night and caught nothing. The disciples never catch anything in the Gospels at all. It's a good thing they found a new career, don't you think? But obviously they were good fishermen, or they wouldn't have earned a living doing it. But like then, like 3 years ago, Peter and Andrew, well, we don't know if Andrew was there, but Peter, James, and John, and four other disciples, are out in the boat. And they're thinking about what happened. They know Jesus rose from the dead. They don't know what's coming next. And their fishing is not going well. I don't know how many of you have ever fished at night. Apparently, that's something that still happens a lot. And I'm not really into fishing, although I like to eat it. And so, you know, they put a light out, and the fish are attracted to it, and then they fish. But this night, it didn't go well. But at daybreak, sometimes the person on the shore can see better than the person in the boat. And so sometimes a spotter will be on the shore calling out to where they should fish. And Jesus kind of plays that role, and he says, have you caught anything yet, children? That should have tipped them off right there. But it didn't. And they said no, very blunt, no. We're tired, and we want to come in. It's not going well. And he says, put your net off to the right side. And then when they get this big haul of fish, they recognize Jesus. Who's the one that recognizes Jesus first? It is John, because John had the most love. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's the one that came back first. Remember, they all split? All of them denied him in one way or another, but John came back first. So he recognizes Jesus. Now, all of this is by way of, it's kind of a setup for Peter in this story. And we know that the apostles were forgiven. Jesus came to them and said, peace be with you. And he said, as the Father sends me, so I send you. Who sins you forgive are forgiven. So they've all been forgiven. And Peter knows this. Now, when Peter gets on the shore, he's the first one to jump in, right? He's very impetuous. And when he finds the Lord, what does he see when he gets there? What does he see? He finds breakfast, and a charcoal fire. Now, does the charcoal fire ring a bell to anybody here? There's only one other place in all of the New Testament where there is a charcoal fire. Where the place where Peter denied Jesus, people were warming themselves on a charcoal fire. And Peter denies Jesus three times, and Jesus gives him a look. And Peter went out and wept. So now we find Jesus and a charcoal fire, the two of them alone. You see? The other disciples are still coming. And Peter, you know, he must have stopped for a moment and thought, I'm so glad to see you, Lord. there's that issue again. He's been forgiven. You know, it's like going to confession and you still feel something. There are certain sins people sometimes confess over and over again. They know they're forgiven, but they need to keep saying it because they need to keep hearing it. The sacrament works the first time, but that happens with some, you know, some sins are like that because we're still living with the consequences. And the sacrament doesn't take away the consequences. We have to work that out. So Jesus invites them all to a meal. It's interesting that somebody was sitting there while Jesus is there with them and somebody's counting fish. Anyway, I just think that's funny. 153 large fish. Nobody knows why that number is in there. So another interesting line that comes up, it says, "And nobody dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' Because they knew it was the Lord." Nobody dared to ask him, "Who are you?" That implies something. It implies that Jesus did not look or sound quite the same as he did before the resurrection. We've heard this over and over again. Now, I think there's a reason why all of these things are in the gospel. This story is not just about Peter and the other six that were there. It's about us. We too are in the boat. You know, the boat is the church. The sea is the world. The land is eternity. Jesus is there. He calls out to us. Sometimes he's in the boat. Sometimes he's walking on the water. Sometimes he's asleep in the boat. And sometimes he's calling from the shore. But in all these cases, we do not usually recognize Jesus when we see him. Where will we find him? In the Word of God, in the Eucharist. We're going to find him in circumstances of life. We're especially going to find him in each other. He will be hiding in our neighbor, our family member, our co-worker. These are the people God calls us to love him by loving them. So we too are not going to recognize Jesus when we see him until perhaps we look back on it. So Peter, so Jesus invites him to breakfast. We don't know where he got that breakfast, but he has a grilled fish there for them. And I'm sure they used some of the other ones that they just caught. And when the meal is finished, you know, they must have conversed for quite a while. And we don't know whether the other apostles are listening, but they probably are. And so when it's all finished, you know, if I were Peter, I'd be looking at that fire and thinking, you know, it was only about a week or two ago that this happened. And you're thinking, my God, you know, this is unbelievable. Here's Jesus risen from the dead. I know he's forgiven me, but... And he looks... So Jesus kind of reading Peter's mind. He says, "Simon, do you love me?" Remember, he gave him the name Peter. Now he calls him Simon. He brings him back to before he knew Jesus. Brings him back. "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon Bar-Jonah, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, you know that I love you." It's like talking with a spouse after a big argument. It's like, "Yes, I know. You know I love you." Remember what Peter said 2 weeks earlier? He said, "Lord, God forbid that somebody should betray you. I'm willing to even die for you." He doesn't say that now. He knows better. He knows he's capable of falling. So Jesus asks him again, "Simon, do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yes, you know that I love you." He's getting suspicious. Why did he ask me again? And he says, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." We know where Jesus is going with this, and we know that he's allowing Peter to make up for his three denials. Peter does not realize this at the time. We know this because on the third question, Peter is very hurt. It's only in looking back that Peter realizes that what he's going through is part of his penance, if you will. It's what he needs to do. Jesus knows Peter needs to say this in front of all of them. They all know what he did. They all know what they did. He's going to be the leader. He's doing a public repentance of this. And he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. He says, feed my sheep. So periodically through our lives, God will come to us and say, do you love me? And sometimes it will be easy, and sometimes it will not be easy. Sometimes it will be very difficult and will involve much suffering. When I do a wedding, I've done, I don't know how many weddings I've done, but I've been doing them since I was a deacon, so 14 years, I guess. You know, the couple will stand here and profess their love for each other, and that's, it's very nerve-wracking, you know, the day of the wedding, but it's easy to say, I love you. And the vows, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do you part. Some have said other things over the years. They're not easy ones, but we think we can do it. But I ask you 20 years later, or 30, or 40, and then you find out it's not so easy sometimes, is it? To say, do you love me? Do you love me now? It's been very difficult for you. I've been very hard on you. Do you still love me? And people say no. And sometimes God is in this position. You see, I'm saying this because we're married to God. We are covenanted to him. We are his people. We're his sheep. But sometimes God does things that we don't think are very cool. He doesn't answer our prayers the way we want. Things don't go the way we expect. We try to do something good and something bad happens. We've prayed and gotten the opposite. Or we're suffering. God has allowed someone to put a belt around us and take us where we do not want to go. And on the way out to his martyrdom, Peter would hear Jesus saying this again, do you love me now? Can you love me now? And that's not easy. So Christ prepares us for that act of love. And then he asks us, if you love me, you will feed my sheep. This is not just a gospel for priests and people who teach or feed the poor. It's for all of us. All of us are feeding the sheep around us by what we say and what we do. We're all feeding sheep. Who are these sheep? They're my neighbor, my coworker, my family, the people, the strangers I'm going to meet today, the person that helps me on the phone, the stranger, the inconvenient, the difficult, the unlovable. Feed my sheep. If you love me, you will be feeding my sheep. That's how you'll know that you love me. So the story of the gospel is our story. We recognize Jesus in the boat. We see him. We jump and come to him. He gives us opportunities to show we love him by repenting of our sins and then giving opportunities to profess our faith. He asks us to feed his sheep. He will come in disguise, and periodically he will ask us one more time, Peter, do you love me?